Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start the next piece of Gemara. It's Dalid. By the way, it's 482. We're going to start with the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Midway through the page. Okay? The Gemara was saying various dinim in the name of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav that Rav Kahana asked questions on. Okay? So one case, the Gemara spoke about lending money that's 30 days. Another thing the Gemara spoke about was the Shemitah removes a debt that was given for 10 years. The Gemara is going through various dinim that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said. So now, the Gemara says another din that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, in the middle of the page. Chavis Malei Mayim, a barrel full of water. Shenof L'Layama Godel, that fell into the Mediterranean Sea, or any ocean for that matter, but the closest sea to them was the Mediterranean. Ha-tevel sham, if a person tables in there, lay also lay tefillah. It is not a good tefillah. It's not a good immersion. Meaning, if somebody tables in the area where this barrel fell into the water, it's not a good immersion. What's this whole inyan? The Gemara says as follows. Water that's in a barrel, like remember we discussed last week, water that's in a barrel is in a keli, it's in a vessel, so that's disqualified as a mikveh. Okay, it's not a kosher rainwater. Now we're afraid that there might be, like, why is chashinu, we're afraid, that there might not be three lugim of drawn water, that won't be in one place, that's not going to be kosher type of rainwater. Meaning is like as follows. If a person, like the Rashi explains as follows. If a person was tamei, and he went into the mikveh, and later the same day, he immersed his head and the majority of his body in regular water, he became tamei again. And we explained this is one of the what's called the Yudches Dovar, the 18 Zedas that the Gemara speaks about in Gemara Shabbos, and it's a very simple thing. In the olden times, we said the mikvahs were very, very dirty. They didn't have filters, and what people used to do after they went to the mikveh, they used to wash themselves up in a shower to get off the dirt. After a while, it got to a point that people thought that the mikveh doesn't make you pure, the shower makes you pure. That's what the Gemara thought, that the shower is what's making you pure. So the question is, so therefore the Chachamim didn't want that, so the Chachamim said, if somebody goes to the mikveh, and Abba Reisha Veruge Begimum Luge Mayim Sheuvim, then he goes into regular city water, he becomes tummy again. So now the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says the following din. If a guy went to the mikveh, and now we're afraid maybe the water from the barrel, which is not kosher water, mm-hmm. is going to come in contact with this guy. And if it comes in contact with this guy, it's going to make him tummy again. Okay. So therefore, what's the problem?
So diluted.
Huh?
So diluted.
He's supposed to be here for that. He's supposed to be here for this, right? That's not what they say?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that he's supposed to be here for that. He missed on Gemara.
It's a
reincarnation.
The barrel's a closed barrel.
No, the barrel's an open barrel.
It's an open barrel. So the water.
So Tasis asks right away. This water becomes like hashaka. It's connected to the mikveh. So why isn't it kosher?
Yeah,
that's the way Tasis asks the question over here, and Tasis therefore learns a completely different thing. Not a barrel full, he thinks a barrel full of wine. But Tesis asks a very practical question. If the water is connected to the ocean, which it is, so that water becomes rainwater. So why should it become, why should it purify you if it's all one big mikveh now? And Tesis really doesn't have the answer to it. Tesis therefore has a different version. Some people, these beings on over here, that there are certain people that want to say that other mafashim have a different answer. But let's leave that. But Taisa says a different version. What barrel?
Was there a problem with the measurement of the sea? Where there wasn't an issue of obtaining away from 40 zahal yet.
He wants to, some Rishonim answer, different answer over here. And they say, Hashaka, connecting waters, doesn't work with sweet water, with salty water. If the Mediterranean is salty, and this is sweet, so it never actually mixes. That's what somebody Shainim want to learn. And if somebody Shainim learned that way, that's how they answer Taisa's question, that this barrel water, nothing personal, this water in the barrel is not connected to the ocean to make it mikvah water, because it's only if it's equal types of water. Mm-hmm. Salt water with salt water, because they mix. What's the concept of hashaka? Hashaka is literally means they kiss. The two waters kiss, they become one. But that's only if it's the same type of a water. If this is sweet water, meaning not salty water, and this is ocean salty water, many of the Rishonim say it doesn't mix. What?
So what about sweet water from the river that runs into the ocean? Ocean is salt water.
Then it becomes bottled to the ocean.
So why doesn't this become bottled to the ocean?
So that's the whole thing that they discuss. Okay. He wants to say Hashaka. Most people disagree with that anyway. But that's the issue of discussion. Anyway, so the way Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that if you have a barrel full of water that falls into the ocean, and somebody goes to the mikvah in the ocean, we're afraid then he came in contact with this barrel water, and therefore it becomes invalidated. But dafka liyamagadol, that then only applies in the Mediterranean, where the water is stationary, the water doesn't move. So therefore we're afraid that the barrel water stays where the guy toiveled, and therefore it's going to disqualify the mikveh that he did previously. Aval ben hara, but in a river, lay, it doesn't apply, because river moves. Right? River is the water, is a current. So when the water flows, this barrel water is gonna get rid of, you're gonna get rid of it. It goes downstream. And now what he's gonna only be involved with river water, which is a kosher mikveh. Okay, that's what the Gemara Taka says, Tanya Nami Hachi, we Taka learn like this in a Braisa. It says, Chavis Malaya Yayin. If a barrel full of water, of wine, Shanaf Liyamagoda, that falls into the Mediterranean, Hatevel Sham, if somebody tables there, they also La Tvila. It's not going to be a kosher Tvila. Why? Shekhashinon, we're afraid, the Shlei Shalugim Shuvim, of three waters of lugim, of drawn water, to be in one place. Now, the only problem is, here we're talking about wine. Okay? Now, the point is, though, that just like wine would invalidate it, so water from the barrel would also invalidate it. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, you see from the Braisa, though, that this water that's in the Yam HaGadol from the barrel would disqualify the mikveh that the guy did before. Because the water will stay in the same place. Or the wine. So it doesn't matter if it's wine or water.
One thing I don't say, if the guy wants to go to the to the Yam to get clean,
right?
What in the fair place, in the fair place you enter the mikveh, you should go to the Yam and make a...
He did go to the Yam. But in the Yam was a barrel of water.
No, but he is talking about that he went to the mikveh before. Then
No. The mikveh was in the Yam. He went in the Yam. That's what it says. Hatevel Sham. The Gemara's case before was, a guy went to Tevel in the ocean.
Right.
Now next to him in the ocean was this barrel of water.
Just floating with the top of
right.
Full of water.
Right. So if Yehuda Merav said, now your immersion became disqualified. Because if you go to the mikveh and then you get regular water poured on you, it disqualifies the mikveh that you took. Okay? Yeah. So therefore the Gemara says, if you travel in the ocean and next to you is a barrel, we're afraid three lugim of water came on you from the barrel. But the Gemara said that only applies in the ocean, where the water stays. But in a river, where it flows, so even the water from the barrel left already, and now you're only back in the mikveh water, in the nahar water. But the Gemara doesn't say you went to the mikveh and then went to the ocean. Some guys go to the ocean and then to the mikveh. You guys.
Now we have to find a river.
Huh? Find the river now.
This is ocean water that went into the barrel. And because it went into the barrel, it became disqualified?
No. But the wine story, the Gemara is saying now, the price of wine is as follows. If you're tavling, and a little bit of your hair even is protruding from the water, or any part of your body is protruding from the water, it's not a kosher immersion, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're tavling in wine instead of the water, wine is not a mikveh. So we're afraid that if you're tavling next to a barrel of wine, we're afraid that your part of your body will be in the wine rather than in the water. Right? So what are we afraid of? What do you see from the brisa though? Doesn't matter wine or water. We're afraid that whatever's in the barrel will go on your body. And then instead of tavling in the water, you're tavling in wine, which is no good. Or, in the case of Ardin, if you're going to be tavling in the Mayim Sheuvim, the sink water, it's going to invalidate the mikveh.
But in the case of wine, you're talking about the immersion in the mikveh.
Yeah, in the ocean.
Okay.
But the wine is there in the water.
Yeah, but sorry, this is a halacha concerning the mikveh, right? But the
question is, the guy tabling might be in the wine rather than the water, or at least part of him. Part of his body might be in the wine instead of the water.
But and if you saw anyways, with wine, you're kosher, right?
Not if you're tavling in the wine.
If you have a full mikveh and the 3 milligram of wine drop in there, and then it's not kosher anymore?
It's kosher, providing you're not tavling in the wine.
But it spreads all over the water.
Yeah, but here it's right there in the barrel, so we're afraid part of your body might end up in that barrel.
If the wine is diluted,
all you need is a drop, one little part of your finger that's in wine instead of water, it's not a good tefillah.
Pure wine or diluted wine?
It doesn't matter in this case. It's not going to matter.
Okay.
But one thing I understand, if the whole thing that after the mikveh you shouldn't get the go to the shower,
right,
is only Gezerah. Why is Gemara is so,
strict about it?
Strict about this side now.
Because Gemara is saying the Gezerah was so powerful that even if it's a Suffolk Shema, it still applies.
I mean, I never seen such a thing in other things.
In the Dinim of Tumah, they go very far. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. The Din of Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus HaYachid. A doubtful Tumah in Rishus HaYachid, in a public, private domain, even if there's 100 doubts, you're still Tameh. Even if there's 100 doubts, you still tell me. Why? Because that's the din of Tumah. Tumah has unbelievable extreme strictnesses. And then it says, V'chein, kikar shel truma, a kikar of truma, a loaf of bread of truma, shenafu sham, that falls there, tameh is also tameh. So it says, it becomes tameh. Okay? It becomes tameh. Because maybe it touched now Tamidika wine. Meaning, the guy tabled, and now if he touched the wine, he makes the wine Tamay. Then if the Truma touches the wine that this guy made Tamay, then the bread is going to become Tamay. So it says, the same thing, Kika Truma, that falls in there, it becomes Tamay. So Gemara says, Mai V'chein, I mean, yeah, it's understood that way. The Gemara says, no. Mao the Tema would think. Okay, Gavra Chazoka, you keep the person in his previous Chazoka, explain. Haka Uke Truma Chazoka, and you keep the Truma in the Chazoka. Meaning as follows. There's a din. Once you are established, you remain that until you know for sure it's different. For instance, the person was Tomei. That's why he went to the mikveh. Mm-hmm. The person was Tomei. So over there, maybe, you know why he stays Tameh? Because it's a doubt. And a doubt, you keep the person in the status what he was before. But when the Truma fell in, it was Tahar. It was pure. Now we're saying, maybe it became Tameh. Right? So the Gemara says, no, it's a Chiddush. It's a unique din. Because if it would only say the person is becomes Tamei, remains Tamei, I would think because he was Tamei, so for a doubt, he remains Tamei. But by Truma, maybe because before the Truma was pure, so maybe now it should remain pure. So we say, no, the Truma really becomes Tamei. Because it's so powerful doubt, it becomes like a definite Tamei.
You're
talking based
on this, only went to the
mikveh
the men if they were
tamei. Yeah.
Not like today that you
whoever. Well, maybe they went. I mean, but can go to one 5 times in Yom Kippur. I mean, it definitely wasn't tamei. But then they had to go to the mikveh if they were tamei. They couldn't walk into the base of mikveh. They couldn't eat truma. They couldn't. I mean, a kohen couldn't. They couldn't do anything if they're. In the days of Yechon and Kohen Gadol, they sent out messengers and they saw there weren't even kids. Little kids that weren't experts in the dinim of tum and tara. All the kids, even the little kids, knew all the laws of purity and impurity.
Complicated.
I know it's complicated, but the kids knew it because it was very practical. Tum and tara is the most complicated dinim. So Gemara says, even though the truma was tahar, so I would think maybe it stays tahar. So you say, no, this is so definite, it becomes tummy.
I thought they had a very hard time with non-observant people.
Not with Tum and Tara.
Not
with Tum and Tara? No. I'm an artist, but I've been saying the kids knew the halacha. For instance, to show the opposite extreme, a doubtful tuma in a public place is tahar. Okay? That means, the Gemara says, what happens if there are two streets? Now, streets are public domains, yeah? There are two streets. One, for sure, had a dead body in it, underneath the ground, you know? If you walked on it, it was tummy. And we don't know if it's this street or this street, but there's definitely a tumor, a dead body in one of them. And the guy walks in this street, and the lady comes to Bezdin and says, "Hey Bezdin, I walked in the street, but I don't know if this is the Tommy Street or the Tahar Street." They tell him, "No, you're okay." Another guy walks in the other street. He comes to Bezdin and says, "I walked on the other street, but I don't know where the dead body is." Bezdin says, "The Tahar. One of them for sure is Tommy." This guy, Reuven, walked on street A. Shimon walked on street B. One of the two streets for sure are Tomei. Right? We just don't know which one. The din is, Reuven is Tahar and Shimon is Tahar. Unless, if they came together to Bezdin to ask the Shaila. If they came together to Bezdin and they say to Bezdin, "Listen, we're Reuven and Shimon. I went on street A, he went on street B. You know, there's a dead body in A or B, we don't know which street it's in." Then Bezdin has no choice to say you're both Tahar, Tamei, both Tamei. But if Reuven came in at 8 o'clock, Bezdin says to him, "You're okay." Shimon comes in 8:10 to Bezdin, "You're okay." If they both came at 8 o'clock, exactly the same time, asking the child together, Bezdin, I mean, then it's a joke, then Bezdin can't say. But if there's any time of doubt in the public domain, it's for sure Tahar. In a private domain, it's always Tamei. Always, even in a doubt. So the laws of Tum and Tar B'chal don't make sense. I mean, that's it. But they're very strict. So therefore, if there's a barrel that fell over there, and it might make Mayim Shuvim falling on the person, the Gemara says he's Tamei. And not only that, but even Truma, which is Tahar, falls into this thing, it becomes Tamei, because maybe the person became Tamei and it invalidated the wine, and then the Truma becomes Tamei. Okay, next mission is back down to earth. Now the Gemara is going to go into this thing just as an introduction to the Mishnah. We know Adam Zaymimin have to pay. If they wanted to do something to somebody else, if they wanted to obligate him money, they have to pay. Do they get Malkus also, or they just pay? Because they're liars. They testified falsely. They transgressed a negative commandment.
It's one or the other.
Huh?
Usually one or the other.
No, but Adam Zaymin, you believe that they're liars.
But you only give them Malkus if they don't get the punishment.
No, so the Gemara is going to talk now. Do they pay and get Malkus, or just pay? That's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah says, meaning on the Bish Pliny, we testify with about somebody, Shechayv Lechaveira Mesayim Zuz. It's a very simple Mishnah. Bezdin comes, two witnesses come to Bezdin and say, we know that Reuven owes Shimon money, the loan took place Sunday morning. Then they become Edom Zaymimin. Now, how did they become Edom Zaymimin? They say, how did you see the loan Sunday morning? You were with us Sunday morning in Hawaii. So you couldn't see that Reuven owes Shimon $200, right? So the din is, Leikin Umishalmin. They pay and get Malkus. Why? So he says, Shalei Hashem Amavin Lidei Malkus. Shem over here is a word like for the Pasuk. The Pasuk that makes you Chayiv Malkus is not the same Pasuk that makes you pay. What does it mean? Saying false witnesses, saying false testimony, is a lav leisana vereacha echoker in the Ten Commandments. You're not allowed to testify falsely. That you pay, that's another pasuk. Vasisim lei kashizam lasis toachiv. You make them do what they wanted to do to the other guy. So one pasuk makes them obligated malchus. One pasuk makes them obligated to pay. So the mayor says they get both. They have to pay because one pasuk says pay, and the other pasuk says another pasuk says you get malchus. Chachamim eimrim, chachamim say no. Kol hamishalem ein aleikim. If you pay, you don't get malchus, and the Gemara is going to explain why. The mayor is right. No. You did two averis, mm-hmm. Right? I'll give you an example. So by Yom Kippur is not going to be. But if somebody. If somebody ate chazer that wasn't nevela, let's say. See, somebody ate chazer that wasn't shechted. So you get two lecheri, you might get two malkus. One for eating chazer, and one for eating nevela. Let's say. I don't know if that's the din. If somebody eats chazer on Yom Kippur. So over there, it's different because if you get killed, kimlei b'drabamina, you don't get two punishments for the same thing. But technically, you did two different sins. You did one sin of eating on Yom Kippur, and you did another sin of eating treif.
But cheeseburger,
would
do it.
Huh? No. And it's a chalisser. It might, if it depends what the burger is. If the burger is some kosher meat, if the burger is kosher meat, you'd get two averes.
Burger with a vegetable with tolayim.
Yeah, with bugs, yeah.
But the bugs, they have to
yeah, if somebody, you're right. If somebody eats a cheeseburger or a trefir burger, with lettuce that has bugs in it. So, and you ate it together. You get twice 40 malchus, 39. One for eating bugs, and one for eating treif.
In a row?
Yeah.
That's two separate.
No, Bezin value, you have to get 78. So Bezin sees how much you're able to handle. If you're able to handle 50, you get 50.
And if you only get 39.
Then you get 39, and you're free off the hook. Oh, now, 1 minute. Now is an interesting thing. Now, 1 second. The Gemara says, we're going to see in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, another interesting case. What happens if two Edom Zaymimin come and say, this guy ate chazer? What did they want to do to him? To get malchus. Right? They're going to get lashes for eating. Then they became Edom Zaymimin. Now, they did two Averis. They testified falsely, which itself is 39. Plus, they wanted him to get 39 malchus. Do they get twice 39 or once 39? Mm-hmm. It's the same case. Do you get double? That's what it says. Me'id and anu be'ish pleinu shuchayv malchus haboy. People testify that they said that they have to get malchus. That he didn't have it to get malchus. They get chazer, whatever. And them and him Sazaimim in Lake and Shmainim. They get 80 Malkus. 80 Gemara means 78. Mishum Lisana Vereach Eit Shaker. Number one, because he lied. And for lying, you get false testimony, you get Malkus. Or Mishum Vasisim Lake Ashizom. And also the Aveda, that they did what they wanted to do to the other guy. So the mayor holds, you get double punishment. Sometimes you can get double Malkus. Sometimes you can pay and get Malkus. You can get double. Chachamim Eimrim and Leikim Ela Achas. You only get one time Malkus. And the same thing like the Gemara we said before. Chachamim hold, if you pay, you don't get Malkus. If you get Malkus for being Eidim Zeimrimin, then you don't get Malkus for lying. That's the way the Gemara learns.
Do you always believe the Eidim?
The Xeris Akasa, which is completely illogical, you always believe by Eidim Zeimrimin only the second group of witnesses.
What do you mean?
The person had to be warned before.
You believe the second group.
Even if the third.
So what about the second group becomes Zeimrimin?
Then you do to them, but again, it just carries on.
So you always believe the new...
The last one.
The last of them.
That's it. You always believe the... Huh?
Second became Zeimrimin.
If group one testified... One sec. If group two testified against one, yeah, then two became Zeimrimin.
Right.
By three.
Then you believe one again.
By three testified that two are Zeimrimin.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Then four made three Zeimrimin. And five made four Zeimrimin. Whatever it is, you always believe the last group. That's it. It doesn't make sense. It's exercise cost of why, who says these two are better than these two? Like we learned at the beginning of Marcus, Hakhasha, contradictory testimony, they don't believe the last one. For instance, we find Shimon dead. Shimon's dead. Two witnesses come and say, Reuven did it. We saw Reuven kill Shimon. Another group of witnesses says, no, we saw Levi kill Shimon. That's not Hazama. What's the din? Who do you believe? So he says, they cancel each other out, there are no witnesses. Mm-hmm. By Eidim Zeimrimin, the Torah believes, for whatever reason, only the last group.
They know somebody killed them.
Yeah, but we don't know who. Yeah, nobody's doubting Shimon's dead, that's for sure. Who killed him? We don't know. Two people say Reuven. Two people. Now, if two people said Reuven, and one guy says Levi, you believe the two over the one, that's for sure. So Reuven would get killed. But if it's two and two, or for that matter, two say Reuven killed Shimon, and 50 witnesses say Levi killed Shimon, they're also two is like 100. It's another Xeris HaKosuv, and they cancel each other out. 2 and 50 are the same. But if two people say Reuven killed Shimon Sunday morning in LA, and then another group of witnesses says, no, we don't know if Reuven killed Shimon, that we don't know. But how can you say Reuven killed Shimon when you were with us? So then you're testifying against the witnesses, not against what they said. Understand? When two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon, and two witnesses say Levi killed Shimon, you're not saying the witnesses are no good. You're just saying what happened was different. So then the Torah says they cancel each other out. But if they testify against the witnesses themselves, then you believe this, the last group of witnesses. Why? That's it. No reason. So it happened. You can have 10. You know, you can have a fiasco. Two say Reuven killed Shimon in L.A. Another two say you guys were with us in Hawaii. And then the third group says, how could you two witnesses say that guy was with you in Hawaii? You guys were with us in Vegas. And then another group says, how could you two say you guys were in Vegas? You were with us in New York. I mean, it can keep going, technically. You always believe the last group of witnesses. No reason. The question is, who says these guys are more honest than these guys? Maybe the first guys are true and the second guys are liars. Third says you believe the second.
But do they have to do it two witnesses that they say, like, what time was it?
Sure. when witnesses testify that somebody got killed, they want to kill somebody, they have to say what time it was, what day of the week it was,
so
where it was.
We know, then. We know it's
yes. Why?
Because the second group saying the same thing.
No, the second group says you were with us in Hawaii.
Right.
Maybe they weren't. Maybe they were in LA and they thought. How do you know? We don't know. It's their word against their word. We say we were in LA and we saw the murder. You say, no, we weren't in LA. We're in Hawaii. Who says you're better than me?
The third group makes the second group Zaynims, and then we believe again the first group.
Then you don't do anything. Then the first group, right. Right. Mm-hmm. But then they wanted to kill the second group.
Yeah, okay, so you'll kill the second
right.
group. But then the first group is believed again.
First group is believed again. When you keep canceling out the later groups, and you believe the earlier groups now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So now, Lepil, the Gemara, okay, next page. Dalet Amud Beis. So the Gemara asks a question. I mean, the Mishnah said it didn't. But the Meir says, you get two punishments for one sin. Right? You get payment and Malkus, or double Malkus. And the Chachamim say no. Only one punishment. So Gemara says the Chachamim makes sense, and the Meir doesn't. Why? Bishlam Rabbanon. It makes sense according to the Rabbanon, because when it speaks about Malkus, the Torah says Kedeirish Asa Iksiv. You do it for his singular crime. Mipnei Rusha Achas Atam Chayvi. You can give him Malkus for one. V'Atam Chayvi Mishum Shteirishoyis. But you can't obligate him for two Avedas. Meaning, if one sin is double sins, yeah, you only give him once. Mm-hmm. Their action was one thing. They lied in the testimony. That gets one sin. In your case, by the way, with the vegetable, with the burger, they would talk, everybody would say they would get double Malkus. Because it's two different acts. They ate the burger and they ate the bugs.
It's one act. You're eating the whole thing.
But it's two separate foods.
Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur is different because when there's death involved, you only get death. You get the worst of the punishments. For instance, if I make one of the Lamentas Mor, you can't make a fire, right? If I burn down your clothing on Shabbos, I don't have to pay for your clothing. Why? Because I'm going to get death for desecration of Shabbos. And if I'm getting death, I don't get the lesser punishment. That's the halacha. I think I was going to get into this now, Kimli, but I mean later on.
Is this all subject to the person that's not being warned?
Yeah, obviously the person was warned, correct.
No, it wouldn't apply to that.
The argument applies by Shaykh also. But that we'll see later in the Gemara. Yeah, you're right though. Technically, you'd only get death if you were warned.
Very
rare.
Right. Yeah, you get the worser of the worser. Get the worse of the worser of the punishments. But the Gemara is asking, the Chachamim makes sense. Because the Chachamim said you get Malkus for your singular sin, not for two sins. So the question, why does Rameyer say you get double punishment? So he says, Rameyer, my time of, why does Rameyer say you get double punishment? So Amr Ula said, because we learned it out from Meitzi Shemra. Meitzi Shemra is as follows. There's a din, if a man marries a woman, and he comes along and says she wasn't a psula, and she committed adultery after the Kedushin. In the Torah. Now again, in the olden times, not like today, where we do the Kedushin under the Chuppah, okay? In the olden times, when a guy wanted to marry a girl, he gave her a ring, not an engagement ring, he gave her a ring, a Re'at Mekudeshes ring, and they got married 12 months later. Okay? 12 months later. If she was a psula, they got married 12 months later. Now, after the kedushin, if she commits adultery, she gets killed. She's still a married woman in all aspects. She just can't live with her husband because she didn't have a chuppah yet. What?
She had to wait a year after she got engaged to get married in the old days?
It wasn't an engagement, it was actual kedushin. They gave the psula, they could have done less. They gave the girl 12 months to get ready for the wedding. Why? Because they had to make their own dresses, and they had to make their own food, and they had to build a house. I mean, you know, things took time. It wasn't today you go to the caterer, in 5 minute phone call with a big check, it's done. In the olden time, you know, it took time. So they gave her 12 months to prepare herself for the wedding.
And she was not absolute?
Huh? Then they gave less because the ceremony was not as, you know, it wasn't a big wedding.
Let's say it's a small wedding.
Doesn't matter.
It's wait a year?
The only difference is, if after the year the husband says, I'm not ready to marry you yet, mm-hmm. he has to start supporting her anyway. Mm-hmm. Because that's not the time, is she belongs to him. Mm-hmm. So let's not get off the track of the din. So the din is, if a man gives the ring to the woman, there's two parts of kedushin, of marriage. One is to forbid this woman for the world, and one is that I can live with her. That's two parts of marriage. One is kedushin, one is nisuyin. Nowadays, we do both together under the chuppah. And the reason why you read the ksuba, why do you read a ksuba in a chasana? A ksuba is a financial responsibility between husband and wife. It's a private document. What's this customer reading it? Because you got a break. You have to take a break between part one of the wedding and part two of the wedding. So the first part of the wedding is the bracha, siddur kedushin, and then I am kedushesli. Then before you go to the shava bracha, so under the chuppah, then you need to have a break. So you read the ksuba. The ksuba bashit is a break. That's
why?
All it is, huh? Because you don't make mitzvahs chavilas. You don't do two mitzvahs at the same time. Okay. Because then it looks like mitzvahs have burdens. Okay. That's the thing. You don't make mitzvahs chavilas.
I thought the speech was the break. The rabbi talks.
It depends. In many places the rabbis don't talk under the chuppah. Mm-hmm. Or they talk at different times. So one second. So therefore, you read the ksuba. But there's two parts of it again. Kedushin forbids the woman for the world. And the Suyin permits the woman to live with her husband. So know what happens. A man does Kedusha with a woman. 12 months later, he got married. And he comes along and says, hey, she's not a psula. That means she committed adultery after the Kedusha. And the woman says it's not true.
Maybe it was before.
Mommy, there's a whole little thing on the bus. Okay? Now.
If you count the two mitzvahs back to back, how do you put it to fill in and tell at the same time?
Or you back-to-back? Put on one and then the next.
But it's back to back.
I understand.
So how can you do the kedushin and...
You technically could. But over there you mamish do it with a break. Because in the olden times there was a break of a long time. So at least you want to make a little break. But there is a concept that ein eitz mitzvah chavilas chavilas. The world, not Chabad, for you, the normal Jews, use the same, two different cups.
Yeah.
For the kedushin and for the rest of the chuppah. You know that? Huh?
I only see one cup. Where I've been
to. Yeah, but they use two different cups. Under the chuppah. No, that's by Sheva Brachas. By the week afterwards. Under a chuppah, they use one cup of wine for the Kedushin, and they use another cup of wine for the Nisuyin. Yeah. In our circles, and then they break a glass, at the end. The real way is you use the same glass for both, and you break that glass.
You fill it up with
the information. So the Alpidin, why do they use two cups? Because you don't want to do two mitzvahs with one cup. Ein eitz mitzvah chavilas chavilas. In fact, in Halacha, there's a big question. How do you bench Shalashudis? You bench and use the same cup for Havdalah. Aren't you doing two mitzvahs with the same cup? Benching and Havdalah. And Halacha discusses why that's okay.
At the Kohen wedding?
Huh?
You do a separate one for Benjamin and then you
They use the same cup for Abdullah. Yeah, sure.
You wash it.
No, you're
benching
it
on the carpet.
When?
After you bench.
Shabbos and Shalosh Shudas.
Shalosh Shudas.
So you bench a cup of wine now to drink the wine afterwards, because it's before Ma'ariv, before Havdalah. So after Ma'ariv, they take that cup of wine that you benched over and they make. No?
It's a technical
But that's not
a
chiyuv.
Huh?
Glass full?
Benching on the
But it is a case of bracha, it's a case of a mitzvah.
Yeah, but that's just stuff.
You break the glass full, Rabbi?
What?
You break the glass full?
You mean when it's full of wine?
Yeah.
No, the chosin drinks, the kala drinks, and then somebody drinks it.
Cover on it, so the one who got them.
Well, I went to a Kohen wedding, and I was combined. I didn't see any two cups there.
Depends they take one.
Huh? We use one.
Oh, one.
I'm saying most people, but there is a concept they're not making mitzvahs chavilas. Anyway, so that's why we read the ksubin mila. Let's go back to the Gemara. So over there, the Torah says that if you prove, it says a parsu asimla, you put out the dress, and Rashi says it doesn't mean you open the dress. It means that you bring witnesses to show that she was takanat, didn't commit adultery. So then, what do? The husband gets Malkus, plus he has to pay a fine of $100. That's what the Torah says.
How could you bring witnesses
that
she didn't commit adultery?
Huh? Because there's a way of proving that when he said it happened, they know it didn't happen. Whatever. That's what the pasuk says, no? So therefore, what happens, over there by Meitzi Shemra, the guy pays a fine, plus he gets Malkus. From Meitzi Shemra. Oh. So the mayor says, just like over there, there's two punishments for the same crime. So over here also, there's two punishments for the same crime.
Pays the fine to the father-in-law.
Yeah.
What's the two punishments?
Meitzi Shemra means he lied. He said bad about the person. Lashon Hara, that everybody knows, Lashon Hara is when you speak bad about somebody, but it's true. Here, Meitzi Shemra, he said the woman committed adultery, and it's not true. That's even worse. Lashon Hara at least is true. Meitzi Shemra was when you say somebody did something bad and he didn't do it.
What if the bride says, I don't want him to get hit? The bride says, I don't want my husband to get hit.
They don't ask her.
She doesn't want
it's not up to her.
She doesn't
want to press charges. There's no right. No, right. There's no such thing. You can't not press charges. If Bezin has to give you Malkus, if it's a monetary obligation, you can forget it. You can forgive it.
Yeah.
But Malkus, you can't say, my husband ain't chazen, you know, I don't want him to get whipped. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's between him and God.
But this one has to do with her.
But it's
She's
still between
like
him and God.
Yeah. Because Moti Shem was on her.
If a man's wife committed adultery with another man, yeah? Mm-hmm. And the husband says, you know what, please don't kill her.
It's different.
What do you mean it's different? She sinned to him.
Yeah, but here it's a lie. I mean, it's.
But I'm saying you can't.
Adultery. It's just a question of her honor. She's
so that's Meitzi Shemra. No, the Torah says you're Meitzi Shemra as Malkus.
So what are the two Avedis? Meitzi Shemra and?
The Knas. Vanchu Aisei Meir
Kesef.
So the Torah said, V'yisru Aisei, V'anchu Aisei. So V'yisru Aisei, the Gemara says he gets Malkus. Plus he has to pay a fine. So what do you see from there? For this one sin that he did, there's a double punishment. Malkus and money. So the Meir says, why is Edom Zaymim indifferent? Edom Zaymim could have money and Malkus together. So the Gemara says, Mamet Amr Ula Gamer Meitzi Shemra. Mamitzi Shemra Lake Mishalin. Just like Meitzi Shemra. You pay and you get Malkus of Koleika Mishalim. Same thing. Every time you get Malkus, you can get Malkus and pay also. So the Gemara asked the question, but Mala Meitzi Shemra Shekin Knas. But Meitzi Shemra is unique. Because Knas is a fine. And the Gemara says you can't learn out money from fines. Monetary obligation, you can't learn out from a fine. Why? A fine b'chal doesn't make sense. Moshe, a ganav pays double. Yeah? That doesn't make sense. Why should he pay double? He stole the object. Give him back the object. He stole $100. Give back $100. What are you paying back $200 for? It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush the Torah says.
Similar,
but you can't learn out from a chiddush for all of the Torah. So the Gemara says, Meitzi Shemra, the fact that they pay knas and fine, because Meitzi Shemra is a fine. But you can't learn out Adam Zaymerman for Meitzi Shemra if Adam Zaymerman is not knas. So the Gemara answers, Sabala Rabbi Kiva da Amar Adam Zaymerman knasahu. Rabbi Meir holds a Rabbi Kiva, his Rebbe, who holds Adam Zaymerman is a knas. Because Adam Zaymerman also doesn't make sense. Adam Zaymerman is a knas. And knas, from knas, you could learn out. So if by Meitzi Shema, which is knas, you pay and get malchus, so Adam Zaymerman, which is also a fine, you could also pay and get malchus. So that's the reason why the mayor says you get both. Why did the Chacham say you get one? Because my malchus, the Torah says, k'dei d'shasi b'mitzvah, you only get malchus for one thing. One punishment per crime.
Which one?
Huh?
Malchus
for being,
or pay.
So the Chacham say, the fact that the Torah says, v'asisam l'kasher zamam l'asis l'achiv, you pay. In a case where you wouldn't pay, like in the first Mishnah, that the guy's ben Gurusha ben Chalutza, that he killed somebody accidentally, then you take get malchus. But the Chacham hold, you can't get double punishment for the same crime. Because the Torah says, k'dei reshasai, for one evil action. One punishment per action.
So really, we learned this out from the first Mishnah in the Seches.
No, the first Mishnah said, if you can't do to the witnesses what the Edom wanted to do,
give him malchus.
So
this is just elaborate.
But now the Gemara is saying, but you can't do both. You can't give malchus and make the guy pay. Obviously, the Edom Zayim wanted to kill somebody, and they get killed, they're not going to get malchus.
Well, that's because then...
Because they're getting killed.
Well, you can give malchus...
Kim Leib and Rabbi meaning. No.
But they kill him and Rabbi meaning.
You can't do punishment for two things.
They
say
you can't beat a dead horse.
He can't beat a dead horse. No, but he says, why did you beat him before they kill them? If I come to your house on Yom Kippur, yeah, and eat up a steak that you are, the most expensive food, yeah, I don't have to pay you a cent. Why? Because I'm going to get killed by a god anyway. If there's debt and money, you don't get both.
Yeah, but one is...
But the Gemara, the halacha is even by Kodis, you say Kim Leib Rabbi Meir. It's Machlek, it's later in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. But the halacha is, you say Kim Leib Rabbi Meir, you get even by Kodis. Chavim will say you get one punishment. That's it.
Isn't the God of Peace careful? Isn't that similar like to Adam Zayman? Guy who stole, he wanted the other guy to be missing his possession. So now you take his possession, pays double, pays back the thing.
Kefil has nothing to do with Edom Zaymim.
I'm saying that it's similar. You know?
Why?
He wanted to steal $5.
I stole your bottle of soda. Why should I give? You want to explain to me why I should give you back two sodas? It was interest. What is it?
You wanted me to lose a soda, so now you have to give me back my soda and give another. The other guy should lose a soda. Give me.
That's not logical. And a guy that does it in the middle of broad daylight, a goslin, doesn't pay double. Yeah?
That's because...
But so what? If I wanted to make you lose a soda, then I should also give you back two sodas. Yeah. Now, if that's the logic. Mm-hmm. And if I steal an animal and shecht it, then I'm going to pay four or five times the amount. That also makes it. Why 4 or 5? Why not 10 or 20? The whole thing is gzeres hakosuv. It's knas. Any knas is gzeres hakosuv, and therefore you can't learn out from there for anywhere else. That's why the Gemara asks, if Meitzi Shemer has knas, which it is, how can you learn out Adam Zaymerman? To just like Meitzi Shemer gets double punishment, Adam Zaymerman also. This is knas and this isn't. So the Gemara answers, he also can be kivet that this is also knas. And knas from knas you can learn out.
Their name is Kanan, who gets paid? They do zayim and have to pay. They pay the guy.
They pay the guy.
Pay the guy.
Yeah.
Not the business.
They care for you. Pay the guy.
No, not by a gazan.
I'm saying by gan. If you pay the guy.
Yeah.
By edim zayim, you pay the guy.
Does the bedin charge you with a percentage?
No.
What, for judging?
Yeah.
No.
For expenses.
They get paid by the city.
By the city.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays they get paid, I mean, by both litigants.
Right.
But they have to pay equally, and you know, I mean, everything has to be the same. If not, it's a shaila of bribery.
Yeah, there's a fee and everything.
Huh? Bezdin?
Yeah.
You better believe it. Should have a fee. Officially, it's not for dintayr. If it didn't tell you, you're not allowed to take money. It's chad batola. You could have been doing something else at the same time.
It's not that the prevailing party pays.
Both parties have
to pay. Equal. Sometimes, after the dintayr is over, it usually doesn't work though. You can say to the bezdin, and now that it's so ridiculous, I want him to pay me back my expenses. But nowadays they usually don't do it.
Who should pay who the expenses?
The loser.
If I call you to a dentator that you burned down my house, yeah? Mm. Which is ridiculous. You go to Bezin, Bezin sees the whole thing as stupid and ridiculous. Yeah?
Yeah.
But I had to take you to Bezin, it cost me money.
Right.
I mean, no, I took you to Bezin. Mm. Right? And the defendant, there was such a foolish case that the defendant had to pay Bezdin. He had traveling expenses.
Right.
So it cost him $1,000, yeah? Right. Can he get back that $1,000?
After he won the case?
Yeah.
He should.
He should, but Bezdin doesn't always do it. So that's only if the case is a ridiculous case, but if it's a real serious case, where there's a possibility both ways, so... You know, then why should he get it back?
That's why we have this problem with the court system here. Everybody sues everybody, and
right.
If you lose, you don't pay nothing.
Right.
They make you pay if you lose.
Then people won't do it so fast.
Right.
Right. But Bezin doesn't do that.
Whoever goes to
prison
has legitimate
care. Not always.
Otherwise, they would just go
file
a lawsuit.
You're right. Try to just file a lawsuit. If they're religious Jews, you know, they don't do that.
They don't file lawsuits?
Hmm?
They don't file lawsuits, religious Jews?
Not in court. Not allowed to.
I mean, if
a Jew's not allowed to take a Jew to court.
Happens.
A Jew's not to take a Jew to Goyish court.
Right.
Except with the permission of Bezdin.
Unless if Bezdin gives you permission, yeah?
There's no other way around.
Oh, you have to get permission?
Yeah. Bezdin gives you permission, then you can go.
That's only if the other guy won't come to Bezdin. Then the only way to
no.
get money out of him is to the Goyish court, then the Bezdin gives that.
That's one way. Mm-hmm. Or if the guy just says I refuse to come to Bezdin, right? Mm-hmm. Or what happens is they went to Bezdin and there was a ruling from Bezdin.
No, what? To go to Rosh
Hashanah? No. Let's say you and I went to Bezdin. Mm-hmm. And Bezdin paskened, I owe you $10,000. Mm-hmm. And I say, I'm not paying. I say, I'm not paying. Okay, so Bezdin says they owe the money. I'm not paying. What's Bezdin going to do? Today Bezdin has no legal power. So Bezdin will give you permission mm-hmm. to go to court with the document that they ruled that I have to pay the $10,000 mm-hmm. and the court will uphold the Bezdin ruling and they'll force you to pay. I mean, force me to pay.
Mm-hmm. Which court do you go to? An appeals court?
No.
Do you try the case from the beginning?
In the beginning, yeah. But if it's binding arbitration, the court's going to hear it in 2 seconds and it's binding. If you sign a paper, if me and him have a loss, a Bezdin suit, yeah? So Bezdin doesn't waste time. Bezin's going to make me sign a paper that is binding arbitration. Bezin's going to make you sign a paper as binding arbitration. If not, everybody's wasting time. I mean, whatever anybody rules, if you don't like it, you just forget it, right? So it's binding arbitration. Yeah? Well, 1 second, it's binding arbitration. And legally, that document is held up in court. If me and him sign a paper that we agree to go to you in binding arbitration, right? And we go, you're not a judge, you're not a, it doesn't matter, but we both sign a paper that we agree to your decision. Right. And we go to you and you make a decision. That I, let's say, have to pay him the money. And I don't like the decision. So the court's going to hold up the decision because me and you both agree that we're going to listen to the decision. When you come to Beis Din, you sign a legal document, not only the Beis Din paper.
That's before the judgment or after the judgment?
Before they hear the case.
Before they hear, okay.
Sure. Okay. When you sit down with your litigant, when both litigants sit down in front of the Beis Din, before they even hear the case,
you have to sign.
They do a kinyan with each side for the Beis Din paper that, in Hebrew, you're right, we accepted this Beis Din as the Beis Din to Paskin the Din. In addition to that, they have a legal paper, which is written by lawyers for the Beis Din, that the two litigants accept the binding the decision of these three rabbis as legal binding arbitration. Mm-hmm. So when the Beis Din paskins and you refuse to listen to the Psak of Beis Din, Beis Din will give that person that won permission to go to court to collect the money, and the court will do it right away.
Right,
right away.
With the documents and the lawyers.
Because it's legal that you accepted the decision. If you accept the decision, it's binding. Somebody asked me not to sit in a case of arbitration between a person and an organization, and he said it's not going to be binding. I said, "Are you crazy? I'm going to sit." Was it to want me to mediate?
No.
Mediate.
Mediating is different, right?
Yeah, but what mediate? I mean, they should try to come and make both sides happy. Which is not going to happen anyway, because I know what's going on. But basically what happens, I'll say, okay, you know what, let's mediate, pay half the money, let's say, yeah? And one guy will say, you know, I don't like the decision, and it's not binding, so it's a waste of time. Everybody knows it's a waste of time.
Yeah, with mediation, there's no decision.
Right, what you try to do is mediate.
Mediate, and if you don't work, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. So you, and if you know it's not going to work,
why waste your time?
Right. That's the bottom. Why waste your time?